With the conflict in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan fresh in our minds, it's easy to forget NATO was fighting a war in southeastern Europe less than 4 years ago. Kristen and I traveled to Kosovo to assess the post-conflict reconstruction efforts. 2 hours from Kosovo's bustling capital, Pristina, we found an amazing story of hope. Kristen has this exclusive profile of one American woman making a difference, note by note.
The sounds of children gleefully singing youthful favorites. But this is not a young music class in Middle America. These children are all victims of the war in Kosovo. Today, these ethnic Albanian children live with their families in Slovene Village, a transit shelter camp on the outskirts of the western Kosovo city of Jakova. 3.5 years ago, their singing was silenced. In 1999, Slobodan Milosevic's relentless 10-year drive to ethnically cleanse Kosovo of all Albanians and other non-Serbian minorities was brought to a violent end with a 78-day NATO-led military campaign. People died. Another 500,000 were left without homes. And at the height of the bombing campaign, nearly 1 million people fled Kosovo, many ending up in squalid refugee camps in nearby Albania and Macedonia.
I was just really moved by this.
The chaos in the Balkans struck a chord with Los Angeles composer and music teacher Liz Shropshire.
It was in April of 1999, and I was planning a trip to Austria. I was going to go backpacking for a month, and I heard an NPR report about the refugees from Kosovo who were leaving and walking into Albania. And they were telling a story that actually I heard over and over and over again after I got here from people that had almost the exact same experience, where they'd been in their village, the women and men were separated from each other, and the women and children were forced to walk to Albania, and they weren't allowed to even look back. And I thought, you know, I'm already planning to go to Europe. I've always wanted to go help someplace. I could just go to Albania and help in the camps.
Unfamiliar with foreign aid work, Liz searched the internet for humanitarian organizations responding to the Kosovo crisis. A few referrals later, she found Balkan Sunflowers, a grassroots organization originally founded to help refugees of the war in Kosovo. The group aids people like Liz in setting up Kosovo reconstruction efforts.
So I went home and I was talking to my best friend, and I said, I don't know what to do about this. And she said, Liz, don't be stupid. Don't just go to go. Why don't you go and do what you could do best? Why don't you take a music program to these kids?
With just a few small donations and profits from churchyard sales, Liz finalized her musical humanitarian relief plan.
So I ended up going with about $5,000 worth of musical instruments. I had 4 keyboards that were actually donated by my church, 500 pencils, a recording Walkman, a boombox, 100 penny whistles, 100 harmonicas. I decided to take the penny whistle and harmonicas with me so that the kids could own them, they could keep them in their pocket. Nobody could take it away from them. It could just be theirs. It'd be really easy to transport, something that they could very easily learn in the amount of time I would have there with them.
Liz Shropshire grew up in a military family. As such, she was always on the move and lived in a variety of places. After college, she settled in Los Angeles. Liz shared her passion for music with as many people as possible. She taught emotionally disturbed children for half a decade and aided youth affected by the 1992 riots and the 1994 Northridge earthquake. But she says nothing prepared her for what she was about to experience in Kosovo.
My plane ticket was going to Belgium, and I had no idea how far Albania was from Belgium. I just thought I would take a train, and it would be easy because it was all Europe, and it's about as far as you can possibly get from Belgium to Albania. And when I got to Albania, the refugees, of course, had already returned because I was going in August and the refugees had returned in July. So, but you couldn't come right into Kosovo. You had to go into a neighboring country. So I flew in on a UN flight and my instruments didn't arrive with me. They came separately because the flight wouldn't take the instruments. I'd never done anything like this. Just going into Albania was enough of a shock for me. And then to come up here where everything was destroyed was quite a shock. It was just a madhouse. Kids were sitting outside smoking. They were sitting inside smoking. They were running up and down the halls. And then I started teaching music. And so I had penny whistle harmonica and drum class and singing class. About the third day I was here, maybe even the second day, I just thought, this feels really right to be here. It feels more right than anything I've done for the last 10 years. And I could do more good here than I could do any place else that I can imagine being right now. At the same time I was doing this program in the school, I was also doing a program in one of the camps, one of the transit shelter camps. This was called the Brick Camp. It was a brick factory that the people had converted into a camp. They were kids who were pretty much in the worst possible condition you could be in. They had not only lost their home, but many of them had lost their home a couple of years before. So they'd been living in the mountains. They'd been hiding with their parents even before they were forced to go to Albania and live as refugees there. And then they came back to nothing.
Liz's trip was scheduled to last 4 weeks. She stayed for six.
All right, Shumir. Now we're going to do this group first, this group second. All right, here we go. This last week of my classes, the kids just kept saying, Liz, you can't quit. You can't leave us. You just started. We're getting into this, and you can't leave us now. So I promised them all that I would do everything I could to come back, and that I didn't know when I would come back, but that I would come back. And I thought I would go home, save my money up, and I would try to come back sometime in the future. And then I went back to America, and I was kind of at a loss. I really felt like I was supposed to be here, but I didn't know in what capacity.
Liz kept her promise. Back in the States, she shared her story of her time in Kosovo through speaking engagements. Liz's goal was to raise enough money to return. To her surprise, people responded. Soon she had a volunteer accountant, a pro bono lawyer, and nonprofit status. And so, the Shropshire Music Foundation was born. True to its roots, the organization is a small web of volunteers scattered across the United States. A few, like her web designer, Liz, has never even met. All have aided her in returning to Kosovo.
And then I came back with a lot more instruments and based myself back in Jakova, working with these same kids that I'd worked with before. Plus, we started expanding to work with a lot more kids. Probably the biggest gift of all is to me that I get to do this. It's just amazing. I never would have thought that all these lessons that my mom kept making me take as a kid, that all these things that I'd done would actually end up being something that I could use to bless now, you know, thousands of kids.
Jakova, nestled in the foothills of the North Albanian mountains, lies just east of the Albanian border. 97% of its 60,000 residents are ethnic Albanian.
In Jakova, 50% of the children stayed the entire time during the NATO bombing. They either weren't allowed to leave to go to Albania, or they had heard the stories about the girls being raped and the men being killed on the way out, and so their families chose to keep them here. Now, that's 50% of the kids that stayed there, but 100% of the children in Jakova, 100% of the children here lost a family member in the war. So these kids in Jakova and in the villages around, the things that they've seen and experienced are really horrific. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. Oh, Susanna.
Don't go too far.
Ni, en, de, en, tre, en.
Volunteer training is one of the hallmarks of Liz's Shropshire Music Foundation. Once a week, she trains interested local youth in the skills needed to run several Shropshire Music programs. These volunteers, many of whom originally attended Liz's classes as students, now assist her in teaching the art of singing, harmonica, and penny whistle throughout Jakova.
Go ahead and play your first note for me. All right, shimmy, here we go. Nie, de, tre. Got there. I just am filled with so much love for these kids. I mean, they're in high school. They could be like their friends, just hanging out, just thinking about themselves. And instead, not only do they volunteer, but they write lesson plans. They practice the instruments. They prepare themselves to be able to teach the kids. So they're putting in all of this time outside of just even the volunteer time. First of all, to learn their instrument. Sorry. They have to put a lot of time in because they all have to learn how to play the penny whistle and the harmonica. And these kids are 14 years old. Not all of them. I mean, we have one boy that's 20, but the others, or 21, but the others are 14 and 15 years old. And these kids are doing this. It's amazing. What do you want to do? What other song?
Up to you guys.
On this Tuesday, half a dozen local volunteers are gathered in Liz's modest rented home in the heart of Jakova to prepare for the weekly Slovene Village singing and harmonica class. The frenzied rush of cheering children as Liz's Jeep enters the compound signals the start of class.
Slovene Village was a newer camp. It's like the brick camp, a transit shelter camp. They were prefab buildings, and it's each building looks like a long trailer, and it has three rooms and a kitchen. And each family gets their own room, and the room basically fits four bunk beds. That's it. These are pretty much your families that are the very worse off. The camp kids are my favorite kids in Kosovo. You know, they've lost everything, and yet you wouldn't know it just from talking to them. They come into these music classes, and they just get taken over by the music. I mean, you can see they are totally 100% into this music, and they love it. And they walk around the camp singing. If I see them someplace, they'll start singing one of the songs, or they'll say, "Hey, Lisa, come here," and then they'll want to sing one of the songs, or if we do like a clapping game with the song, they'll want to do it with me.
Liz holds class in a sparsely furnished stark white rectangular room in Slovene's Recreation Center. On this evening, 17 boys and girls ranging in age from 3 to 21 sing their hearts out in the chilly makeshift classroom. Despite full power, the room temperature never warms up. Children lucky enough to have a coat keep it on for the entire two-hour session.
What's the first word in this song?
The children in Slovene Village are learning several songs in English, even though most of them speak no English. And although Liz has a solid working knowledge of the Albanian language, she still conducts most of the class in her native tongue. Bessie, another one of Liz's volunteers, provides translation.
First verse English, second verse ship, third verse English, okay?
Do më thonë versioni poshtë në anglisht, i dyti në shqip, edhe i treti në petë vazhdojmë anglisht.
Liz has all the skills of a proper English nanny. The students sit up straight on command and rarely stray from her instructions. Even the youngest child, a blonde boy with natural Shirley Temple curls, manages to keep near-perfect rhythm, even though his head barely reaches above the table. Liz's spunky Mary Poppins style is the spoonful of sugar these children desperately need.
Sort of a whim. I just had this song in my head. We just sang it for the kids. And I thought they would just laugh and think it was really funny, but that they would never want to learn this. And I said, do you like it? And they said, yes. And they said, please teach us this song. So they learned the song in English. And just sang supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I mean, that took, you know, 10 minutes just to be able to say that song. And then they learned all the English verses, and they were just loving this song. So then they kept saying, what does it mean? What does it mean? So then I started thinking, we've got to put this song into Albanian. And now they love this song because they're singing it in English and they're singing it in Albanian. We're not just teaching kids how to sing some songs. We're teaching them how to read rhythms, how to read notes, how to clap the rhythms. One of the first things that we do with the kids is we teach them the whole note and the half note, and then we teach them to say la for four beats. So we'll go la, and they clap while they're saying la. Just doing that simple exercise, they're doing two things at the same time. They're speaking and they're counting, and they're aware that they're doing two things at one time. Then you start introducing the actual notes that they're playing. Now you've added another thing. Then you have them start blowing on an instrument. They're doing another thing. By now, they don't know what they're doing. All they know is that they're having a really great time, but they're using parts of their brains that they've never used before.
We learn songs. And we learn how to play harmonica.
I think she's a great teacher. And she's a really good friend.
Tonight, 13-year-old Isuf Hidori enthusiastically and flawlessly executes the rhythm section of Liz's rendition of The Lion Sleeps Tonight. A task that would have been impossible 2 years ago.
We call him Loom. That's his nickname. And Loom used to be a really big problem. You didn't want him in your class. You didn't want him, you know, he just would disrupt absolutely everything. But I loved this kid, you know. And when I'd go to the camp, I would always go out of my way to just hug this kid and put my arm around him and just tell him how good he was. Well, his behavior started getting better first just because it was me. But what's exciting is that now he's not just good for me. Now he's good in school. And this year he got elected class president.
Loom's mother, Floria, now considers Liz one of her best friends. She believes music is helping to heal her son's soul.
I have three children, one daughter and two sons. All three are participating in Liz's program. After the children come from the classes, they're really happy. They always talk about happy things. It's a really good program because it's the only program in the camp.
The first hour of singing class ends with a frenzied rendition of Skip to My Lou. And after a few brief class photos, several younger students scurry outside, and the older pupils hurry back to their seats. With the first hour of class over, Liz hands the reins to 21-year-old volunteer Boyram Vernici. Boyram, a handsome and well-mannered ethnic Egyptian, leads the evening's harmonica instruction. Prior to meeting Liz, Boyram didn't even know how to play the harmonica. Now, he can't imagine life without it.
You know, the music is something like magic. They didn't have this activities before. I can see that they changed a lot because, like I said before, they always thinking about the war and talking about war and talking about the bad things. But now they are thinking about the music, how to learn to play harmonica or how to learn the new song and how to sing this song. And they don't have time now to talk about the war because they already forgot the war times.
Boram is probably the most natural teacher that I've ever seen. He is so patient with the children. I love watching him teach.
Boram is one of Liz's countless success stories. He is one of a handful of local ethnic Egyptian students heading to university classes next year. Boram plans to pursue a business degree, but promises music will never stray far from his heart.
How long I'm planning to be volunteer? If I can, I can be for all of my life. Yeah, I want to stay here and help my people too.
I am a teacher, a music teacher. With Liz's training, I've had a lot of success.
Belkisa Penny is a true believer. Belkisa, a shy and petite ethnic Albanian, lost her job as a music teacher in the mid-1990s as the Serbs segregated or closed schools throughout Kosovo. Thousands of ethnic Albanian and other non-Serb students were forced from their classrooms. Many ended up in makeshift home or neighborhood schools, and those who did attend class were often subjected to severe discrimination and violent reprisals. The situation left many teachers, like Belkisa, with little confidence to instruct in a post-conflict environment.
I was out of work for 7 years. When I was offered a job, I lost my self-esteem. But Liz taught me the harmonica and the flute. Then I understood I was worth something. Now I'm really happy and have my self-esteem back. Everywhere I go, people like me now and love me because of the things I did for them.
Belkisa says this happiness extends to her students.
It was a really big change for kids in Kosovo because they had for the first time an instrument in their hand. All of the things they had in the war, that they'd seen in the war, they've forgotten with the instruments.
Well, this year, again, we were running low on funding. I was thinking, okay, maybe this year is our last year, and right after I got here in May, one of the local men, his kids were in my first classes, and he said, please don't go. This is when we really need you.
Liz Schropshire has assisted more than 4,000 children in the Jakova area since late 1999, and she has managed to do it all on her life savings and small donations.
We've never had more than $50,000 a year. I mean, $70,000 is our goal. Our goal used to be $100,000. We've narrowed it down to $70,000, but we've never raised more than $50,000. And this year, we've probably only raised about $35,000 or $40,000. We're pretty low budget. But we're also, that's also one of the great things about us. I mean, the money goes into the kids. It doesn't go into anybody's pocket. It just goes right here into bringing this program out for the kids.
Every winter, Liz packs up her Jakova home and heads back to the U.S. to launch another round of fundraising. While she is away, her dedicated corps of volunteers keep the program up and running. All the while, she dreams of the day she can expand her reach even further.
Our goal is to continue. We've got this great corps of local volunteers, and our goal is to eventually turn the program completely over to them and continue to fund the program. But they take over the program and run it, and maybe I'll come here, you know, a 1 or 2 months out of the year to check on things, see how things are going. But hopefully by then we're in another country doing the same thing.
She'll be coming.
She'll be coming.
Okay, she'll be coming.
Music is amazing because music doesn't just stay right at the front of your brain. Music goes all the way down in your soul. And when you're really making music, you're really singing with all your heart, or you're really playing an instrument, everything that you have in you is giving to that. It's not just something that you're doing intellectually. It's everything about you. For me personally, you know, when people say to me, oh, you're such a good person for doing this and stuff, I just think it's just ridiculous, because really this is for me a dream come true. The fact that I get to do this is the most amazing thing for me. I can't imagine my life anymore not doing this.
For Common Ground, I'm Kristen McHugh, Jacoba, Kosovo.
Oh, yeah.